Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of TF.
Bonus.
I do this really every time.
And this is great because I love when we have guests on whose work I've like admired for a long time and so on, who I've been a fan of for a while. And then I say bonus, and then they have to listen to this and think of a way to politely excuse themselves from the call.
That's right. That's right.
As such, I wanted to introduce our guest today because we are talking about a movie. One of the best. I hope you all enjoyed it, by the way. One of the best movies ever made. Yeah. It is.
It's truly the Spencer Confidential of YouTube.
It is Bill Corbett of Riff Tracks, MST3K, and all around filmographical funny man. Bill, how's it going?
Good. And you know, it is in my rider that I have to be introduced with orgasm sounds. So thanks, guys.
Really enjoy. Huh.
Yeah. So what happens?
Yeah.
Every other time Bill's gone on a podcast and they haven't done that. It's like the no brown M&Ms for AC/DC. Like he knows
Van
they haven't
Halen,
prepared.
I believe, but yeah.
I will trash the place.
Yeah, that's right.
No, yeah.
Bill's gonna rip out an amazing guitar tapping solo. Just
Oh, that's right. Before we crack on though, I've noticed this just sort of as we've been waiting to start recording. That Hollywood, and especially Hollywood labor organizing, has lost one of its titans today, as Ed Asner, who you may remember as Guy Bannister in the film JFK, and also a man who has consistently write about a lot of stuff, has passed away today.
And you can hear that sort of somber silence from me and Milo as we try and work out whether there's a respectful way to do it, like a mourning orgasmic moan noise.
He
tried. He went for it.
I thought that was going to be a bit, like, I fully thought this was going to be, like...
No, it's abrupt gear change into genuinely sad news. Yeah.
Shit.
No. A real loss, both as an actor, a labor organizer, and generally speaking, a voice for decency and compassion in a very sort of cruel and callous world.
Well, nevertheless...
Yeah. Yeah, there's a look, there's sausage to be made, and it's time for us to turn once again to the Sausage-a-tron. So
I'm so mad at you for making me watch this, dude.
Yeah, that's the great thing.
I didn't enjoy it. I watched it on 1.75 speed and it was still too long.
Did you discover anything interesting or new about yourself?
No.
We went on a journey of self-discovery and we took Bill Corbett with us. To watch Brian.
I am on ayahuasca right now, guys, just so you know.
Watch a movie called Reconnect.
Yeah.
Yeah, a really good movie.
A really good movie.
Before I sort of start going into it, I also want to say, yeah, having a podcast is great because you get to subject, people who you're fans of their work to the world's worst shit.
Yeah. 90s trance compilation CD, Reconnect. DJ Brian Rose takes you through the looking glass.
So, Bill, what did you think of Brian Rose and his documentary about doing ayahuasca and having it make you a better YouTuber?
I do feel reconnected to piles of shit. I don't know. It's a weird kind of bad because I've seen all kinds of bad auteur movies, and I love some of them just for their earnestness, and I loathe other ones just for the experience of making me watch. This was unique, though. This was a man masturbating for 2 hours about his virtue and imagination, and including some of just the worst human beings on earth, that old man who is his mentor, Peña. I want to drop him out a window. He's a horrible person.
This is like advertised on the YouTube channel that Brian Rose runs, London Real, as sort of featuring this ensemble cast of featuring Dennis McKenna, Jordan Peterson, Dorian Yates, and many more.
London Khayal. My favorite line from the entire thing, and I don't think this is spoiling anything, is the bit where...
Don't spoil it, Milo. Come on. Don't spoil
such a good story.
It's the bit where Brian Rose says, "Don't get me wrong. I love my mom. I love my dad. And I love my parents." And I was like, what?
Don't get them wrong.
Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get him wrong.
Sounds like his mom, his dad, and his parents. Sounds like you're about to get him wrong, Milo.
Yeah.
If I'm perfectly honest with you. So this has been great. So basically, Brian Rose, who you listeners to this show will remember, ran kind of a joke campaign for. Well, he didn't think it was a joke, but
it was a joke to us. Yeah. It wasn't a joke to him.
He ran a joke in the Andy Kaufman sense campaign.
Yeah.
Listen, Riley, would a man who was joking drink his own piss? Your silence speaks volumes.
Don't get him wrong. He doesn't like the taste of piss.
Don't get me wrong.
So if you recall, he ran for London mayor as this guy who was like a podcaster with like a slew of sort of
the
fraud.
The YouTube podcaster, not the cool kind, the video kind.
A slew of fraud and shady allegations, of business dealings behind him. A man whose main thing was that he likes to break dance.
Yep.
And
a man who on his YouTube channel has drunk his own urine. Not once, not twice, but three times on camera.
Well, how do you know if you're going
to
like it?
Learn to jack off from a Chinese
guy.
He did,
learn to jack off better from a Chinese man, yes.
Oh my God.
The comedy rule of threes is where you drink your own piss three times. Come on.
Yeah, and then the Candyman appears.
Well, if you do it four times, it's not funny. But if you do it like five times or seven times, it's like
around.
Every other time, it gets funny again.
Yeah, that's right.
So... what do you basically... the thing is, I find Brian Rose to be an interesting character because despite being like a sort of charisma void and a very, I think we can all say, unusual looking, sounding, and acting man.
Yeah. Let's just say Brian Rose can only come into your house if you invite him in.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, just a deeply strange man is nevertheless has this like... I don't know, just a barnstorming sort of a Joe Rogan clone online persona.
It's very curious you mentioned Joe Rogan because I'm going to compare him to Joe Rogan in the course of this. Brian Rose and Joe Rogan both have this deal, right? Where they're like sort of broadly on the right, on the sort of like sort of scam to reactionary spectrum, right? But like they themselves are God's own perfect morons. And they're so... Totally open-minded. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, only Nixon could go to China. Only Joe Rogan could have Bernie on. Yeah. And only Brian Rose could drink his own piss on camera. Because they're like so totally sincere in an ecosystem that is built on nothing but insincerity. And we get, oh boy, an hour and a half. And they don't waste a second of that hour and a half of full Brian Rose sincerity.
Not a scrap of fat on the a lean script, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Brian Rose talking to his dad. I mean, what more can you want?
Yeah, so what he's done, basically, is he has made a documentary about how there are problems in the world.
Yes. Yeah,
and those problems are to do with the fact that we are not connected to one another.
Yeah, I kind of liked the first, like, 20 minutes or so of this movie because it's just Brian Rose making like a fan trailer for a Deus Ex game. It's like there's a lot of problems in the world, and then it'll cut to like shots of like riot police or like forests burning, and it's like that's epic actually. I think he says in the beginning that like we're like a species dying under anesthesia, and I'm like, yo, that's a fucking
I have transcribed
cool line actually.
I've transcribed it. We're in a dark age.
Sure.
What?
We've lost our compass.
First to a lack of sources. So
we don't know who we are. We don't know where we want, what we want to do.
Sure.
Our own lives are an experience of inadequacy and tension.
Cool.
We are a world dying under anesthesia from the lack of authentic connection with the living world out of which we came. What is to be done?
That's fucking our line. You can't like appropriate Lenin off of us.
When I look outside my studio, I see a very different picture. I see a world divided, anger, separation, insanity, but it's not just outside, it's also inside me. And this is when I remembered that Brian Rose moved to London because he was a heroin-addicted stockbroker. Hmm. And that sounds like something one of those would say.
Yeah, what is to be done and who's to blame? Classic capitalist question.
Something's missing and I can't figure out what it is. All my life, I tried to find happiness by achieving things. I'm not sure why, but I wanted to be the best. It's all about performance, success, winning. And then what I like is a little stylistic button on the end of this sort of, as you say, stock film montage that could lead into a Deus Ex game. Thunder behind the Statue of Liberty.
Cool.
America is at threat because not enough people are doing DMT.
Let's fucking do this.
This is a comment, and I'll sort of open it up after I see this comment. The comment on, because it's a YouTube documentary, right? So there's lots of comments underneath it. Anyone else experiencing their awakening currently? If you're in quote unquote crisis, you may not be
DM
aware.
DM me if you're experiencing
this is the
your awakening.
The nightmare that forces you to open your eyes. Please like or comment if you are in an awakening. So
I'm doing it.
Yeah, we're all liking, we're all commenting, waking up.
We're in a great becoming because of Brian Rose.
Yeah, we're in a great coming.
Mm. Yeah. So
of Brian Rose.
This is sort of the introduction, right? We are in a world beset by tensions. There is a war on consciousness, but we...
consciousness?
Yeah, there's a war on consciousness going on, Bill. Someone's trying to put you to sleep. That's right.
Well, this movie allied itself with whatever that force is.
this is certainly a sleeper agent in the... In the great war on consciousness, I'd say this is a sleeper agent in multiple senses of the word. Mm. So this is what he's saying, right? He's in his studio, but the world has gotten too go. Mm. So as we get out of the opening montage, I just want to sort of check in. Bill, what's going through your mind at this point?
I was trying to figure out what this guy was, because first of all, it was set in London and he just sounded like some yokel from this side of the briny. It's easy Canadian.
No, he's from California. In fact,
oh, San Diego, isn't he?
That makes sense, being that his resentful parents are there. you had given me a little bit of information about this guy, but not much. I really didn't see it coming that he was just going to be such an open-eyed. Like you said about the Joe Rogan thing, like his eyes are, he's like a newborn babe to all sorts of concepts. But it's just not to psychoanalyze this yutz, but it does seem like it is an attempt to find something virtuous about his predatory. And I think he actually sort of self-diagnosed fairly well. Like, I've been trying to fulfill my life by achieving this and that and the other thing, and I'm still a miserable bastard. And it's like, you will continue to be.
It's sort of the like BoJack Horseman thing of being like, oh, I'm unhappy. Why am I unhappy? Because I'm a huge piece of shit. Am I gonna do anything or change it? And well, no, but like, I am gonna feel very bad about myself.
Mm. Oh, I will be experiencing some self-pity. Don't worry about that.
I am gonna be getting yoked. So don't worry about that.
So, and what I think is interesting, right, is we can take this. Let's take this moment even to like jump to now, right? Because this was made in March 2020, when I think you could count. It was sort of probably made before COVID, released during COVID, as a kind of I think you might say an oaf outreach program.
Oafreach.
Yeah. An oaf outreach program of him being like, hey, we need to like put aside our oafish ways. There are big problems with the world. Let's solve them. Does anyone want to give me a guess? What is London Real, his channel, the multi-million viewer YouTube channel, now focused on?
Ooh.
Oh, I think I know.
NFTs.
Yes.
Is it NFTs?
Crypto.
Yeah, that's right. He has gone from tearful reconciliations with his parents, an attempt to overcome this emotional puppet play, basically, of overcoming his own, as you say, predatory instincts. But then, as soon as cryptocurrency is the thing again, he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm doing DeFi now."
Well, it's especially. Not ironic. I don't even give him credit for that, but it is. It's especially loathsome because he does make a pretty big connection to we have to get in touch with the earth. And when he's doing the ayahuasca in South America, his implied message, at least, and I think fairly direct at times, is we have to get back in touch with the earth and just be more ecologically aware. And now he's a crypto shill. I mean, these things cannot exist, even in a tiny brain like that.
Yeah. We should talk about how he gets there, because he has this, like, crisis of faith, right? in which he remembers, because like part of his deal on like London Real, other than like shilling crypto, is like interviews, right? He interviews weird dudes, much like Joe Rogan. Yeah,
a Chinese guy will teach you to
exactly. He interviews like a sex guru, right? Or he like interviews a motivational speaker or whatever. And his perfectly like open brain facilitates this, right?
He's just like, golly, that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. There are lots of like reverse shots where he's like, he talks to a guy who says the most insane thing you've ever heard in your life. And then Brian Rose is looking at him very eagerly, like, yes, new knowledge. Which is great. I really appreciate that about him. It's one of his only redeeming qualities. But like, he remembers one of these weird guys that he's spoken to. And one of these weird guys that he's spoken to is a big enthusiast of psychedelic drugs, specifically ayahuasca.
Yeah, so this is Dennis McKenna, the brother of Terrence McKenna. Terrence McKenna being like one of these... you might say the main sort of advocate, indeed, for like seeing, foreseeing like hallucinogens as medicine. Like Terrence McKenna is the guy who says plant medicine, and is why, you know, there are a bunch of like Germans in Costa Rica who own resorts that are dedicated to quote unquote plant medicine.
The second wave of Germans in Costa Rica.
But he's not related to Paul McKenna, the hypnotist who helps you lose weight.
No, different McKennas. Right, okay. These are different McKennas.
Isn't the first brother McKenna also sort of Grateful Dead adjacent?
I think
like,
so.
To that.
Yeah,
because
the first McKenna like died quite young, I think, and so there's like archive footage of him in this movie talking about things like plant intelligence.
It's dedicated. The movie's dedicated to him, I believe.
Really?
Or
oh, I didn't notice that.
We need to get some plant intelligence.
I might be incorrect, but it does sort of like thank him copiously. Mm.
Oh yeah, because I think like the Brian Rose character, right, has kind of understood that, has understood the need for, he's understood sort of transcendence as it would be understood by a 6-year-old. Mm. And so, and then understands these sort of concepts like sort of gratitude or whatever as being about who is legitimating sort of my stupid fantasies about myself that I sort of assist my oafish listenership in legitimating.
Yeah. So he talks to Terrence McKenna. His like usual standby for this movie when he's talking to someone is he like goes for a walk with them in the park, which is quite nice. And Terrence McKenna explains that the deal with psychedelics is that they teach you to like think, they wake you up, they make you aware of, and this is a direct quote because I wrote this down, the program and the agenda of the Uber class of there is even a little beat before the Uber class.
Yeah, it's very, because a lot of this stuff, right, it's if it's about sort of you might say transforming the world by transforming yourself primarily.
Yes.
You know, a lot of you ask, well, what are you transforming? Well, you're removing the programming. Well, who put the programming there?
The Jews. Wait, sorry, no, was I not supposed to say that?
Yeah.
Fuck. No, wait, I didn't say that. No one's saying that in the video. Illegally,
we cannot say they're saying that.
Yeah. And it does seem right, like,
vibes, however. And the vibes, not good.
Look, no. There are brackets. Yeah. We're not saying what shape brackets. We're not saying where they are, but the brackets are sort of appearing.
Right, and so what that gets to, right, is I think it gets to a sort of... one of the reasons why this is sort of politically worth thinking about, sort of before we go back into, you know, talking about the oaf and his little vacation and failed therapy session, why this is what we're thinking about politically is like... Once the sort of broad right, sort of again, this being the oaf wing of the right, has recognized oaf flank,
the military wing of the oaf division,
more or less. Yeah. But once you sort of
oaf.
Once the problems become the contradictions, you might say, become completely inescapable, you need to think of something to do, but you need to think of something to do that's going to be really stupid and won't work.
Yes. Well, this is like,
of course.
This is specifically kind of like oaf mysticism. And like, there are some interesting trends in the mysticism of oaths, right? Because some of them go into like, you know, very, very dark places, very dark kind of mysticism, becoming like Odinists or going into like a Sartre and shit. Whereas I don't think that's an option that was ever really on the cards for Brian Rose, because again, he is a beautiful, perfect moron. And as such, his kind of mysticism is to develop an entirely like, inward looking sort of narcissistic way of like saving the world by saving yourself and your own consciousness.
Yeah.
Which has a weird self-effacing is not quite the word, but
self-aggrandizing, I would say.
So, well, he's self-aggrandizing. That is the weird nexus of it, because he is ostensibly criticizing himself and his ways all along, but it all just seems like a big Brian Rose / London Real commercial in the end. And the way he talks about London Real as an actual mover of ideas and people is deluded.
He says several times, funny. Like, I have this like calling. I can reach out to people. I can reach out to my 2 million subscribers, which London Real has, and I can be changed, which on the one hand, I suppose, you know, must be nice to like have that level of confidence. But on the other, it kind of seems like you don't want to do any of the like more concrete things because you think they're beneath you and they're quite boring.
Well, what I suppose really we're saying is that if only Brian Rose had won the election to be new mayor
of
London.
This is the thing, as long as he's like a temporarily embarrassed narcissist, it's quite funny to like make fun of him. If he is like rewarded with actual real material success, he would become a monster.
Oh, nuts. Yeah.
I want to see Brian Rose fight Lawrence Fox.
Lawrence Fox is like a deeply cynical and unhappy man, whereas Brian Rose is...
Brian Rose is a himbo.
Yes, yes.
Fundamentally.
So he says, Brian Rose says, I'm sure there's a lot I could learn from this medicine, on the phone to Dennis McKenna, but could I be too busy? Could I leave my important business to go to the jungle for the week?
This vibe is sort
this
of
is
like...
This is your business. Being a dumb guy is your business. What are you doing? Oh, I've got to be like, I've got to learn how to jack off. I've got a busy schedule of my jacking off lessons. I can't take any time off.
I can fit some ayahuasca in between my 3 o'clock jack off.
Yeah. Because he's like, they call me Mr. Too Damn Successful, right? I have too many businesses. Mm. There's a photo of him shirtless next to a sports car, which is how you know he's successful. Yeah. And this works, providing you have not consumed any of Brian Rose's other productions. And you know what his work is, because his work is, in this case, like talking to Jordan Peterson for half an hour or drinking his own piss.
Yeah, sometimes both.
The other thing the other guy he talks to, who features quite a bit in this film, is Dan Pena, who is the $50 trillion man whose job seems to be dressing like a railroad robber baron and then shouting at people about how good he is.
He's like a motivational wrestling heel, I guess. He's like Ted DiBiase, but like without the sort of self-awareness.
And your problem, Brian, is you care what people think.
What I love is that they set up the stakes of the movie at the beginning is, will Dan Pena think that psychedelics are cool? Because at the beginning,
I
want
to impress my surrogate dad, who's like this business tyrant.
He's a horrible person.
He's the worst guy in this movie, by far, yes.
But he takes pains to again and again to say that Dan Pena is his mentor. And this is a guy who made his money in oil for this, you know, eco-aware London Real magnate.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, and also, worst of all, he says, I don't need psychedelics. Psychedelics are for losers.
Yeah.
Whoa, no.
Pure Trumpian vernacular.
Yeah, he doesn't want to save the planet because I think he says, my generation ripped the ass out of it. And I'm proud,
I'm proud
to have done it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We took the bussy out of the world, and I'd do it again, frankly. I fucked the bussy of the world, and I think it was good, actually. You're a pussy if you wouldn't.
I think describing him as a wrestling heel is exactly right.
Yeah, that's his entire deal. He, like, motivates people by, like, there's a bit where he, like, goes to, like, an audience full of sort of business nerds, and he just sort of screams at them a little bit that he's like, it's like an every day of my life is like the last 2 minutes of the fucking Super Bowl. He swears a lot for impact.
Yeah.
Oh, he also
so good.
Yeah. Takes pains to just berate our man, Mr. Rose, and calls him a cunt repeatedly. And Brian Roan just
and
sits there with that goofus face, like, yeah, I'm listening. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a little bitch.
It's a great scene where he interviews him, and he's essentially trying to do like Sith Lord shit on him, right? He's trying to like rouse him to motivational anger. And so he just looks him straight in the eyes and he says, you're a cunt because you want all of these people on camera to like you. And because Brian Rose is a narcissist, that's an incisive observation. But because Brian Rose is the kind of narcissist who's like ultimately self-pitying, it doesn't land because he's just like, well, I guess that's true. Maybe I am a piece of shit in such a way as to like, you know, try and get more sympathy because he wants people to like him.
Maybe people will like me more if I can widen the lapels and the pinstripes on my suit until I just have one stripe per side going down.
Maybe what I need is a bigger knot in my tie. Brian Rose is a man who's becoming more and more of an estate agent day by day. The more his suit broadens.
He also talks to Jordan Peterson as the third.
Yeah. Oh,
he
God. Says,
with great risk, they can...
Oh, well, you're a bit of a cunt, Brian.
So, because this movie needs to create, because what it really is, man goes on holiday, takes drugs, and wants to like get closer to his family until the side effects of the drugs wear off.
It's like watching a dumb guy go to therapy and not have a breakthrough for an hour and a half.
It's so good,
very accurate.
But because they need to give stakes. They need to start with, like, Dan Pena being like, psychedelics are for losers. I'll never think they're cool.
Yeah, and they get Jordan Peterson to say, psychedelics, they're very powerful because they bend reality, but they're very dangerous. And so you should be very careful because of the risk of this cool thing you're about to do.
He talks to Jordan Peterson, who might be the only person on the planet less self-aware than Brian Rose. Just this miserable bastard who can't get his shit together.
I think this was the last time Jordan Peterson was seen.
Yeah.
Before.
And he's not really in this movie. He's first billing. It's like featuring Jordan Peterson and others. His name's on the poster. And it's essentially
anyway,
like,
there are others.
Anyway, I gotta go take a coma.
It's he's in this for like 10 minutes of reused footage from an interview where clearly Brian Rose is at this time thinking about going to go and take ayahuasca and asks Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson's like, oh, I wouldn't do that. And then they just put it in the movie. What's he going to do? Stop them? At this point, he's in like a coma in like a Yugoslavian hospital.
Still being fed
That's
steak
right.
by his daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he's
a straw.
He is like an imperial servitor. His brain has been hooked up to Andrew Tate's different cam rooms.
Yeah,
yeah. Andrew Tate's gonna punch him in the head if he doesn't wake up from that. So he better
look out. Yeah. Also, can we talk about Brian Rose's office?
It's great. somehow the 2 million YouTube subscriber channel London Real rates a central London office. And let's say on this podcast, we know a thing or two about central London office space.
We do. I've been known to.
I think it's like beyond our means, even if we had those numbers, to just have like a brushed steel and glass office.
So what I noticed about it, right, is that it's covered in sort of, you might say, stupid motivation, like motivational messages for the deeply stupid.
Yes.
And then it's like, you know, live, laugh, love for people for whom live, laugh, love is too complicated
live,
a concept.
Live, laugh, transcend.
Yeah. And it's like, suck off your life.
Yeah, stuff like this, yeah. Then hanging in Brian Rose's office in his, completely superfluous business is just a full-length, gigantic, photorealistic portrait of himself.
Awesome.
It's an oil painting that he's had commissioned, which is cool. This is the only cool thing about him. It's like just getting an oil painting of himself done.
He had it done by one of those startups that does it of dogs, but they agreed to do it of him as a special favor.
Yeah, they didn't know. Actually, technically, on an IQ level, this is still within our business model.
Yeah, that's right.
So Brian goes to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
on vacation, because this guy that he talked to, Terrence McKenna, runs like a retreat.
Dennis
McKenna. Owns like,
and you know what? Unlike a lot of people who are going to Costa Rica, not for pedophilia reasons. So credit to Brian Rose.
We don't know that.
legally, we do not know either way.
I would say it's a very sharp divide in the traveler, in the recreational travelers to Costa Rica, between the pedophilia ones and the psychoactive drugs ones. And the only guy who split that down the middle was John McAfee, rest in power.
God. So as there's a third category of traveler, I actually work for a biomedical research company, and I'm trying to skip ahead on decades of research and development. Hmm. So I'm going to meet Newman from Seinfeld, and he's going to do me a little favor.
Hello, Riley.
What I really like, though, is as Brian gets to Costa Rica, he's like, oh boy, I'm so excited about the jungle. Look at all these trees. I bet they're one big organism. Then he gets there and he's like, there's a scorpion in the house, and then a dog barks.
And he's freaked out.
And then he says, what's that? And then it cuts to black. Again, like creating the tension of going on holiday.
A dog! Yeah, he acts like a... He acts like a cliche sitcom housewife in the 1950s on a chair hiding from a mouse.
He's like, oh God, a dog. I hope it doesn't outwit me.
He doesn't even acknowledge it's like a dog. What he says is just, what is that? And it's a dog barking. It's clearly a dog barking. It sounds it sounds like dogbark.wav.
The problem is, he left his speak and spell in London, and so he did not know what the dog knows.
So this enters the second reel of this incredibly long movie, one which I have tentatively titled Brian Rose in Far Cry 3.
He gets there, and they're building up the power of the ayahuasca. And they're building it up, It's like, oh, you take it three times. Once to break you down, the second to go to the depths or maybe the heights, and the third to integrate it all back together.
Yeah, and at no point is this like a thing that like some first year university students would just do for fun.
No.
Yeah.
And Dennis McKenna, who is by this point identifying as a shaman, drops a fantastic line on him. I had to write this one down, which is as Brian Rose is like bidding him goodbye, having like been given his like itinerary, is just like, well, I guess this will be our last conversation for a while. And Dennis says, yeah, I guess I'll talk to you on the other side of the chrysanthemum, which I'm going to start saying in my daily life.
Just as long as you don't explain it in the least.
No, not at all. Never.
No. No one's explaining that.
Yeah, just before the recording, like, I guess I'll see you all on the other side of the chrysanthemum.
The first recording breaks you down.
Yeah, that's right. And then the stream puts you back together.
Dennis McKenna presents as a shaman, but they actually have an actual shaman there.
Yes.
So he subcontracts the shamanism.
Yes. And like, this is the thing, right? This is the one part of this movie that I don't feel the need to make fun of, is that like Brian Rose is a stupid witness to some, I guess, like actual spirituality or like folk tradition or folk medicine here. Once this is applied to him, he speaks to this actual shaman who is like, yeah, no, it's mostly like, you know, it's good medicine, right? It'll give you some like insight into like the world, and it kind of takes you out of yourself a little bit. Brian Rose is not a man to be taken out of himself by anything. We will see this multiple times. It is a recurring theme. Is essentially by the end of this trip to Costa Rica, all of these like New Age guys are grabbing him by the lapels and going, "Have an out of body experience, you piece of shit!" And like the most profound sort of reckoning he can come to is always a deeply personal one, because his entire life is like interior, so all he does is like, "I gotta marry my wife."
I'm gonna marry my wife every day. I'm gonna treat every day of my marriage like it's my honeymoon.
Yeah, I'm gonna marry my wife. So yeah, cool, man.
Yeah. So Bill, what do you think of his first lesson? Be grateful and honor what you have and those around you.
Well, it is very much a motivational poster. It did not seem like he needed to go to the brink of consciousness to discover that. He's just unrelentingly shallow. And there's no amount of anything that could put a dent in that.
They really try. They try like the absolute rocket fuel on him. And the effect Nothing.
He does have a little, he claims to have a little eco-awareness moment where he sees the planet, but it is the worst, by the way, it is the worst advertisement for ayahuasca, if that was anybody's goal, because he comes back and he is still the unself-aware goon he was, you know, at the beginning of the movie, possibly worse.
This is the problem with ayahuasca. It's the Rick and Morty of drugs, right? Like, in that it's good. It's actually cool, but all the people who love it are the worst people you know.
Yeah. That's right.
I just find it very, very funny that, like that Brian Rose is doing this, that he's, like, going on his, like, hero's journey with all of this stuff that is, like, set up very strongly for him to have, like, to feel oneness with everything or whatever, or to feel, like, sort of perhaps, like, slightly more freed of his like, various burdens. And then, like, he's like, no, I'm actually just like this. I'm still like this when I'm on ayahuasca.
I
want to see this documentary where Brian Rose goes to Bolivia and does cocaine instead. He's like, I have to open a restaurant.
I need. You
the
should come on.
Should be as small as
like,
possible.
He comes out of this like, I have to like my family, and I'm like,
Yo, what?
That's so cool.
You weren't doing that.
I should spend a modicum of time with my family. That is what ayahuasca showed me.
And if you needed ayahuasca to get you there, then fair enough, I guess. But like, we also see, not to jump ahead a little bit, but he does not please. Live up to this at all. He walks out
not even
on his
for
son's
10 minutes,
first birthday because he needs to work.
I have it, but again, awesome. Remember what his work is. His work is basically
being taught how to jack off.
Look, son, I'd love I'm to talking- attend your party, but I have to go jack off several times.
He takes his once he gets back from his ayahuasca retreat, he takes his family on holiday to Bordeaux, his wife and his two children, and then he just leaves because it's too much for him, and he flies home without them.
Yeah, well, I think it's because also, like, if you're that person, right, then you cannot associate with your family. Because you can't, because they're not your staff, right? Brian Rose is a man with staff and flunkies. Like, your family is not going to stand for you hanging a giant portrait of yourself in every room of the house. Like, you have to treat them with some, you have to understand that you're in a community with them that doesn't involve you just, like, telling them what to do.
Also, is his wife Russian? She seems Russian.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have this moment of them trying to, like, hammer this, like, you know, like, Brian stopped being personally focused into him. And, like, due to the constraints of this medium, of this sort of, like, influencer YouTube video, he has to have a revelation. But he doesn't, like, oblige them by having the revelation that they want, which is, like, you have to do, like, eco-socialism,
well,
Brian, or whatever.
In fact, I'll ask Bill. What? How do you interpret the revelation that Brian Rose has? I've interpreted it as a the villain of a Green Day album, but I need to know what you have to say.
I'm older than you guys, so I think of him more as the villain of an 80s teen comedy who's going to close down the recreation center. Mm. Like, that's the revelation he has on ayahuasca. I have to get even worse. I have to spend less time with my family. I have to double down on London Real. But I love when he comes back to his office. Speaking of family versus staff, they are dumbfounded at best about what he is talking about. You can see that he's going to make their lives miserable. And he even has the dumb self-awareness for a moment to say, like, they think I'm crazy. Like, well, no, they kind of hate you. They deserve
to. Yeah, the one time I feel bad for him in this movie, right? Is when, after he comes back, not when he's speaking to his staff who think he's crazy, but when he's speaking to, like, his sort of his interview guests of other sort of, like, various, like, you know, cranks and hustlers and scammers.
Guys who go all rotate onto one another's things to talk
exactly.
about, like, yeah.
And all of
he
them.
To talk about vaccine skepticism and nootropics.
And all of them think he's crazy. And he's, like, because he's a very earnest man, he's like, He keeps asking them, would you like to come to the jungle and do ayahuasca with me? And every single one of them is like, No, I don't want to come to the jungle and do ayahuasca with you.
I give him the tiniest bit of credit for including that, because he is willing to make himself look like a fool. Yeah. Unless he does not know that is what he's doing, which is entirely possible.
Oh yeah, he's willing to like do that, but only in a sort of I think it's just in this.
Well, he's
like,
an evangelist.
Yeah, right? Yeah. These people just don't really get it. You know, they don't understand mm-hmm. what I'm trying to go through to like reconnect everybody. Because when I was in the jungle in Costa Rica, I learned that I have to be Earth's savior.
And sorry, little Brian Jr. I'm afraid your Little League game will have to wait. I need to talk to Jocko Willink about doing DMT.
But the other thing is, they talk to his stuff. For some reason, all of his stuff's faces are blurred.
Not expertly, though. You can see like half the faces.
I don't know why. Is it? Are we going to find out they're like doxing Syrian refugees in their spare time? What the fuck is like? But anyway, like he talks to the stuff, and the stuff are like, yeah, no, he got a bit weird. He started wearing like differently colored shirts, and then he kept putting he put new inspirational quotes in the office, and he put plants everywhere. Mm. He put plants everywhere because plants think on a different time scale to us, and they have like a different intelligence. And this is where I wrote down, this man went on an fucking intercosmic voyage of self-discovery, and what he got out of it was to buy a pot plant.
So I have the quote here. So number one, one thing I want to sort of hammer down as well is the main antagonist of the other than Dan Pena, who thinks that psychedelics aren't very cool. The other antagonist of this movie,
well, he loves his yelling.
The real antagonist of this movie is Brian Rose's parents divorcing,
yes.
Which he found difficult as a kid, and that's awesome. Why he is the way
this is
now.
His like foundational trauma. Yes, is that his parents got divorced when he was age 7.
He was a victim of divorce.
He was a victim of divorce. And now he can never be normal because his parent he doesn't think that his parents love him.
POD, person of divorce.
Yeah. So he says. I wanted to hammer that down on the plants thing. The quote was, "Listen to the plant." He said this at an all hands meeting at London Real. So mostly like 5 to 7 people.
Why do they have hands? Why do they have 5 to 7 people working on producing?
5 to 7 more people than are needed.
Yeah.
So. Listen to the plants and don't destroy them. As egoic beings, we often don't respect plants enough.
Egoic beings.
Being with a sense of self.
Imagine being a normal person who has been hired here.
Yeah.
Yeah, my boss went on an ayahuasca trip and now he says that I report to this fern.
Imagine being like the cleaner at London Real.
Oh, God.
It would be hard to get obsession out of your head. Destroy the plant. Destroy the plant.
The plant knows too much.
Yeah, yeah. I cleaned the office at London Real. It's an okay job, but like he's had the Chinese jacking off guy in again. It's kind of making my job difficult.
To put down a top. Yeah.
He then says, I knew London Real would play a role in transforming human consciousness. So that's like table stakes.
I knew.
Oh, yeah, we all knew that.
But like, by this point, he's fully gone. He wants to do the Human Instrumentality Project.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
via
again,
YouTube.
What if Zele from Evangelion had, instead of LCL and sort of interplanetary sort of beings of pure divine energy and the Evangelions, what if they had a YouTube channel where they talk to like an ex-Navy SEAL about motivation?
Yes. At this point, I wrote down, there is still half an hour of this.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, London Real has a new mission of turning humanity into a fully empowered, conscious, and cooperative species, which I assume they would have accomplished in the last 6 months, because now their mission is to get people up on scammy altcoins.
Yes.
Yeah.
More or less.
And his I looked into Pena briefly, and he's on board with that. He, you know, which doesn't surprise me at all, but if you look at his Twitter feed, he's almost 80 years old, and he's just like typing in all caps on Twitter about, I think he is against Bitcoin. I don't know much about crypto, but I think they have a rival brand, and he's just basically yelling cunt at everybody who's not on board with his version of crypto.
Okay, this is the guy I fully hope to be at 80 years old. Like, let's be real here, just for a sec.
That's your dream senescence, is just to like just call people horrible words all day.
Yeah, you're like you're still online. You're fucking yelling at people.
That sounds like a Tartarus to me.
Yeah. So I want to ask, right? Why do oafs find this so compelling?
Crypto?
What is it about it?
I think it's because it's undefinable on some level, and also rife with potential for scamming oafier oafs from, you know, of their money.
Yeah, well, it's also like it's very I'm very hesitant to give him any credit for identifying the problems, because at this point the problems are obvious. But like to say that we are killing the planet and everybody feels depressed and isolated all of the time, even before lockdown. That's like as table stakes or whatever. Yeah, sure, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And if you go looking for something like that, then as like a perfect sort of like seeker of truth like Brian Rose, then eventually you can be led to some very weird places, like jerking off.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Drinking your own piss.
Yeah, I mean, like Brian, I mean, the film was very kooky, but like at least in the sort of in the broadest sense, Brian Rose is like kind of he's sort of broadly angled in the correct direction of like, yeah, everything's fucked. The climate change, got to do something about that.
Yeah, DeFi, cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not in the film, to be fair. That's a subsequent Brian Rose turn of events.
He says, but his plan to how to fix all of this is he wants to host an event that brings everyone together. So he's going to have a party.
That's not his plan A. His plan A is to go to an Extinction Rebellion protest, or like a climate strike protest, where he goes and he's like, man, there's a lot of young people here. And I think about my children. And, you know, on the other hand, I don't want to get, like, involved in this because it's too, like, divisive. And I don't want to be divisive. And his montage for this is a combination of Trump and Greta Thunberg, which is very funny.
Yeah. Wow, it's very funny.
Yeah, and so because...
Danny woman.
Because, like, the discourse is so fucking bad, or because he doesn't want to do practical things that are difficult, he goes to the process and he's like, yeah, no, instead of that, I'm going to use my skills of interviewing people on YouTube
and jacking off.
I'm gonna talk to all of these people.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to all the people I always talk to.
Listen, Brian, Alice nutted a space station out of the sky. What have you ever done?
At this point we get to the sort of there will be bloodline of I abandoned my son because he just dumps his family in Bordeaux.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, kids. I have to host a party of guys who have different Victorian diseases because they thought that you can get smarter by drinking ditch water.
I have to not spend time with my family because I have to go and talk to Dorian Yates, this like sort of washout bodybuilder, who is the only person that I've actually liked in this movie so far. Yeah. So please don't tell me if he's a Nazi.
Yeah.
An Instagram of Dorian Yates. I'm
afraid. Oh, get that vibe.
Of course he is.
Sorry, everybody.
He's just like a nice big guy who's like now on a spiritual quest, which I guess also includes anti-vax stuff.
The one lesson he took away from ayahuasca to spend more time with his family, he just threw it in the trash within minutes. It's amazing.
It's about the family you choose. Yeah. And the family he chooses is a lot of very large and very stupid men. It's like the Fast and Furious franchise, right? That's his family. That's his real family.
His real family is the Dorian Yates, three glasses of his own pee, Jordan Peterson, Dan Pena, the corpse of Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, here's where we get to like the resolution.
Yeah,
right?
Denouement.
Yeah, the denouement of this film, where he says, "There's one last thing I had to do. I had to speak to my mentor, Mr. Pena, about all my experiences."
That's not the denouement.
"And try to convince..."
There's another denouement.
There was a penultimate denouement with the conference, right? Where
there's three denouements. Also, I don't know what a denouement is.
So one of the denouements is resolving the burning question, will Dan Pena think psychedelics are cool?
Yeah, and he won't.
Will he?
He will not.
No, you can't. Suitcase closed.
Then we have the like conference thing, which essentially...
I jack off on my own.
is revealed only to be like, yeah,
One thing I want to say, that Dan Pena, like the big sell of like him coming to that realization, is that Dan Pena admits that he had a dream that someone who watched London Real came up with the cure for everything and gave it to everyone for free. He dreamt that Dan Pena says, "I dreamed that one of your mentees saved the world."
Now, Dan Pena does get one good line here, where Brian asks him if he'd ever do ayahuasca before he died. Right. And he says, "I do heroin before I die."
Right. But, you know, kudos.
Yeah.
Credit where due, you horrible old creep.
So we see this conference, and the conference is basically Brian Rose doing his usual motivational speaking shit. That's all he's learned, is he's folded
so
that back
in. So charisma free. It's astonishing.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. He's just like, you gotta change the world. But the real denouement for me, the big denouement, is he goes and he visits his parents to talk about the trauma inflicted on him by them getting divorced when he was 7. And he talks to his mom, and his mom seems like nice, right? Mm-hmm. And like, she gives him a hug and everything. It's nice. I don't really have like that much of a substantive conversation, really.
She's basically, "Oh, that's right, honey. Oh, gosh. Yeah, maybe you're... Yeah, I think you're right. Oh."
Yeah, like she's doing what is essentially like the mom version of "Have you tried not being a little bitch about it?" But like, this is fine, you know. They clearly like love each other and stuff. And it's like, it's also, I noticed this down. This is the first time Brian Rose asks someone about themselves. He's like talking about how like the rough the divorce was for him as a kid, and then he kind of checks himself a bit, and he's like, "Well, like I can't imagine how it was for you." And he asks, and it's like, it's a genuine little sort of moment, you know. But then he goes to talk to his dad, and perhaps unsurprisingly, his dad is a piece of shit.
What? Crazy.
Yeah.
It seems like just as he learned the lessons, like, yeah, I have to marry my wife, he learned the lesson of, I must be a son to my parents.
Yes.
This was a Dan Pena, you know, version 1.0 was his dad.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
His dad is like this kind of like boomer guy, and he's just like, "Well, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong because I just, you know, I came home from work." But like, he fully does the dad version of, "Have you tried not being a little bitch about it?" Which is just saying, "It was 40 years ago, you know, get over it." Which on the one hand is something Brian Rose desperately needs to hear, but probably not from the guy who like he most associates as being responsible for it.
Well, I think the message of "What do you want from me? I went to work every day" is very much something
it's
that's
so
like
depressing, right?
Yeah. Because Jeremy Clarkson.
There's a bit where he tells his dad, "Thank you for being my dad and for everything you did. I love you," and he gets nothing.
Yeah,
nothing. And it's brutal. That one hurt me, I'll be honest. And again, like, this is the other moment where you feel the bite of that sort of like inspiring like YouTube video structure, right? Is this is the point where they're supposed to have a big moment, and his dad is just not letting him do it. And so Brian Rose has to, I don't think he even knows that he does this, but I think somewhere deep inside he intuits, okay, well, now I have to act like I've had like a big emotional thing. And so this old ass man is just looking at him like, yeah, he should have gotten over it. Shouldn't be a little bitch, huh? And he has to go, wow, that's really gonna change the way that I think about this. I'm gonna be a completely different person after you have told me not to be a little bitch for what I would guess conservatively is like the several thousandth time in his life.
Showing up for a tearful reunion with his father, and his father's just like, "I drink your milkshake."
So what we get? The very end, we are facing a global challenge. And this is now Brian, equipped with having been like sort of lovingly brushed off by his mother and unlovingly brushed off by his father, being told by his mentor that maybe he'd do heroin one day, but that psychedelics are still for losers. He says, we are facing...
His mentor loves Pete Doherty.
Again, to his global solution to all of the global problems, which is a conference of about 100 people he bilks money out of, attended by 10 other people he talks to all
the
time.
Bilderberg guy.
He says, we are facing a global challenge, and it looks pretty crazy out there. It starts with you making a choice inside, and that's why I think this isn't a moment of crisis. It's an opportunity. I know because I'm on the front lines. London Real through YouTube, we're connecting everyone. So I'm asking you today, I'm asking you right now, how will you transform yourself? So on behalf of myself and the entire team at London Real, I've got one more thing to say to you now. Let's fucking do this.
Let's fucking do this.
Great, great inspirational line.
The way I want to answer this is by talking about what Brian Rose does next, which is he talks to a guy called Ido Portal, movement expert, because as our tutor, our sensei, our spiritual guide, Matt Hancock, taught us on this podcast.
True.
Parkour is a great way to learn about your body.
It is. So, Matt wasn't wrong.
Way of wrapping up, I want to ask, Bill, what is your final assessment of how now that you've been introduced to Brian Rose in the wild, wacky world of London Real, someone that we've talked about very frequently on this show and associated stream. What is your final judgment of his inspired documentary, Reconnect?
My goodness, it is a puzzling one to me because I don't associate, I spent some time in London College and I worked there for a while. Like the degree of earnestness and just dumb earnestness that he brings does not seem like a good fit with the UK. It feels very American. His particular kind of scamminess. So he feels like he's in the wrong place for one thing.
Well, would you like to know what percentage of the votes he got when he ran? Because after this, he ran for mayor of London. Results here. Brian Rose, 1.2%.
All of them were me.
He got 31,000 votes, which is respectable if you're not, you know, in London.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. I actually have 31,000 different, slightly different pairs of Groucho glasses, and I was able to go to the polls quite a few times. I think you'll find.
Implying that Brian Rose didn't even vote for himself, nor did his wife.
16,000 more people voted for Lawrence Fox than Brian Rose, which tells me that, like, Lawrence Fox speaks...
Wow, that's brutal. That's really brutal.
Speaks to more of the, like, cynicism of the divorced British dad than Brian Rose does.
He does seem emblematic of a weird mix of things that you see more and more of these days. It's just the combination of extremely right-wing, especially economic policies and beliefs, just a Trumpy through and through, with this weird self-help, self-development culture, and it's being mashed together in uncomfortable ways, and I think not making either side of it look good, but
he's, well, that's the thing. Brian Rose isn't divorced, and therefore he doesn't speak to the British public in the way that Lawrence Fox does, you know?
He will be soon, I think.
He had the opposite realization at his ayahuasca retreat, which is, I need to unmarry my wife. I gotta get rid of her. And then she's gonna take the kids, and I'm gonna harness the anger. And then I truly will become the greatest prime minister.
When Brian Rose is dressed as Batman climbing Big Ben, get back to me. That's when he'll be marketable to the British public.
with all that being said, and Bill, knowing you're on a bit of a schedule, given that it's now 8:30, I think that's about time to close the book on Reconnect, and maybe for us all to deconnect until next time.
Whoa.
Right? I just came up with that now.
Put that on a motivational poster immediately.
It's time for us all to go and learn how to jack off good.
Yeah, that's right. We're all going to London Real, and we're all getting lessons in some of the most important things. But Bill, I want to thank you very much.
It was a pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.
For not just taking the time to talk to us today, for taking the time to listen and learn to the wit and wisdom of Mr. Brian Rose. I like introducing people to this guy. He's one of my favorite guys to be like, get a load of this this creep.
He's one of our guys. He's a homegrown guy.
Yeah. So always happy to share him.
I resolve to spend less time with my family.
Yep.
I too will be spending less time with Brian Rose's family.
That's right. So, from all of us here at TF, thank you very
much
for listening.
Spend less time with your family.
Spend less time with your family. Thank you for being
a patron. Subscribe more to the Patreon. Yeah.
If you're going
to
buy gifts for your kids, why not increase your parasocial relationship with us by buying more things in the Patreon? You'll make yourself more powerful. But no, thanks everyone for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you again to Bill for coming on today. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Brian Rose for reconnecting us all. And we'll see you on the free episode in a couple days. Bye.
Oh.